And welcome to MTF's This Is Africa, the filmmakers podcast for anything and everything film in Africa. We're based in Gaborone, Botswana, but we speak on all film news across the continent. I'm Nikita Neo Mukhware, trained actress and screenwriter.
And I'm Serene Serena, screenwriter and filmmaker. Mm-hmm. Today we'll be looking at the Oscars,
yes,
and the win that was close to home for Southern Africa.
Yes, and we're also going to be talking to Josh S.B., a Ugandan cinematographer, about his latest project.
Hey, Nikki.
What?
What's the name of the project?
Projection. Projection.
A project called Projection.
Let's go! Oh, we're already winning. This is the beginning of the episode and we're already winning. But yes, no. So Lionsgate, right? An American production company. They have apparently been shooting in Kenya and it's a brand new film that's set to come out in May.
Yes, and it's called Endangered Species.
Mm-hmm.
It's set to premiere worldwide May 28th.
Yes, yes. And it stars Rebecca Romijn from X-Men.
Hey.
We've got Philip Winchester. And we've got Jerry O'Connell from Showtime's Billions. And it's set right now at the Amboseli National Park. That's the setting for the film.
Let's also talk about these high-list names.
I'm telling
that they
you,
keep bringing in.
It's like boom, boom, boom.
Right?
Boom, boom.
It's amazing. Like,
oh my
it's amazing.
Gosh. Oh my gosh.
In an exclusive look at the trailer, this gripping adventure tale unfolds beneath a brutal African sun.
Oh, tell him, girl. Yes.
So Jack Halsey takes his wife, their adult kids, and a friend for a dream vacation in Kenya.
Okay, it sounds like, you know, your standard holiday plan, right? Wrong.
As they venture off alone into a wilderness park, their safari van is flipped over by an angry rhino, leaving them injured and desperate.
Not the rhino.
Then, as the two of the family members go in search of rescue, a bloody, vicious encounter with a leopard and a clan of hyenas incites a desperate fight for survival.
Oh. So basically, it's a family survival story.
It's basically a family survival story.
Yeah.
It needed that.
I'm telling you,
know,
for family viewing, a survival story.
Based in Kenya.
Right.
Right? And in a wilderness park, even.
Mm.
I wonder if this will scare tourists, though. Like, you know.
You know, but like, you'd be surprised, bro. You know, like these kinds of films, they really have that effect. And most times it drives more people to the parks. You know, it's the craziest reaction. It's like, oh my gosh, remember that family that nearly died in here in that one movie? Let's go.
I don't get that.
Let's go. Oh my gosh, is that the rhino that toppled the car? Ah! Take pictures. Like
you'd think survival will tell us stay away from that very thing
and
that might
like,
hurt you.
Closer.
But you know what? If that happens, then it's good news for the tourism department.
Because following the release of the trailer, the cabinet secretary for tourism, Najib Balala, made the following observation. They were like, films drive economic growth, right? Through tourism, investment, and employment opportunities.
Okay, so he knows.
He knows.
That's a good thing that he knows.
He knows. Agreed.
So the movie, it was directed by MJ Bassett, and she shared a clip of the cast and crew at the Samburu National Reserve back in October.
Yes. Kana, she directed a film called Wilderness before, and that's like a cult horror, apparently. So she's got some background on this. Like, she knows. She knows.
You know what's the weirdest thing for me?
Mm.
I personally don't like watching horrors, but I like writing them.
Or is it
horrors are really fun to write?
You know,
like
I especially love the ones with like the bad ending, the sad endings where everyone just loses, no one wins.
Of course you do, Nikki. You did say that your favorite emotion is gloom.
Life, bruh. Like, and besides, it's nice to have a deviance from like the normal happy ending trope of most movies.
Sure.
Like, and it's part of the structure of horrors, you know. So you're going in an almost like, you're expecting the ending to be terrible.
Okay, but then I feel like bad endings in horrors can be seen as cheating because it's the easy way to go out because it's obviously the obvious choice.
Cheating? I mean,
Think about it. Like a horror with a happy ending, but still able to bring in genuine fear to your heart whenever you recall the movie. Now, that would be a cool achievement.
Wow. Okay.
Because usually it's like, you know, all this bad stuff happens, you know. Oh my gosh, it usually ends up gloomy. I mean, yeah, fine, maybe the protagonist ends up living, but he's lost so much. It's usually that whole of like, at what cost kind of thing. So,
Because
you know.
if I think of Gothica, you know, that's like a thriller horror. Have you watched it?
No, please tell me about it.
Gothica, bruh, it's Halle Berry in her peak, dude. Like, she was amazing. But it's basically about this a woman. She's the wife of a psychologist, and she experiences an incident that makes people think she's crazy now. Mm-hmm. But she also has to escape this like nefarious dingy thing. Like,
has to escape.
She
the
has
man.
To escape. Yeah, she has to escape a nefarious being, right? So it's really cool. It has a lot of twists and turns. That's why I'm thinking it's more of a thriller horror than mm-hmm. a horror.
It sounds the way you're saying it. It sounds more thriller than
but
horror.
But it had a happy ending of sorts. Like it felt like a happy ending, but a bit sad. But also better than the other options. Like at the end of the day, the nefarious being did lose. Mm-hmm. In essence, they lost. It wasn't a thing of, oh, come back from the dead afterwards. No, like they legit lost.
Okay.
But the ending was kind of happy, and they did it in a way though that even if you rewatch the film, which I've done many times, it's still a chilling experience, because I guess it's a thing of if you don't focus on winning versus losing, and more on the other elements horror provides, like genuine scares or genuine questions about life, about human beings, about behaviors amongst us, then it's a thing of like, okay, the ending is important, but not everything hinges. The horror doesn't hinge on the ending, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Gothica for me kind of went, where it's like, okay, the ending will be the ending, but whatever it is, I've gotten what I needed to from this movie already. Before the ending even occurs. Does that make sense?
I guess, in a way. I mean, at the end of the day, it seems like you enjoyed Gothica.
Yeah.
And it did have that happy ending
exactly,
that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So I guess it works.
Yeah, I know. There could be some value in happy endings with ours. But they have to be done well. They have to be done well. You have to focus on something else besides the ending, maybe.
No, that's very true. That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
But back to Endangered Species, it is in select theaters
and on demand
and digital on May 28th and available on DVD and Blu-ray from June 1st.
Exactly.
So can't wait to see it.
We're so excited. We're so excited to catch it once it drops. And there's also another film on our minds, Projection. So it's an upcoming film by Josh SB, a Ugandan cinematographer and virtual content creator, who we're happy to have with us today for an interview.
Whoop, whoop.
Hi, Josh.
Oh, hey.
How are you?
I'm good. Love the energy.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. Thank you.
We try to keep it lively and fresh, and we love film, so it helps.
Yeah. Clearly you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you.
The flattery. Please, keep it coming. So, tell us about yourself. You know, tell us, you know, who is Josh SB? What does the SB stand for?
Thank you. What is that initial?
Well, I'm a filmmaker and visual content creator from Kampala, Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much been my what my life is all about for the past 5 years actively.
Ooh.
Yeah, the SB is a nickname that I got from high school.
I'm a very curious cat.
Yeah,
what does it stand
story.
For? And what's the story behind it?
Well, I used to, in high school, I used to impersonate the great music producer, Swizz Beats. And
okay.
So they used to call me Swizz Beats. I'm like, no, I'm not Swizz Beats. You can just call me
so
S.
Oh, cute.
So then that's sort of like the name Josh SB sort of became quite popular in all my circles. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to keep it Josh SB.
Nice. I like that.
So you're saying that for the past 5 years, you've been all about film, all about content creation. So how did you decide to become a filmmaker? And since it's now so much part of your life, you know?
Well, it began right from my high school. The first time I got a hold of a camera and, you know, shot some content and decided to sort of put a story together. So my big brother taught me how to edit and some of the software that was available at that time. So when I did that and how it came out, that's when I knew I wanted to do this much, much bigger. Of course, each time I watched movies, I sort of had an extra keen eye with the way the story is put together on screen. Mm-hmm. But little did I know, and up until I got a hold of a camera myself. So in my high school, when I was 16, that's when I decided I really want to be a filmmaker, which eventually I joined Kampala Film School right after my high school.
Mm.
Oh, so that's beautiful. So I guess by holding the camera, basically your fate was sealed, and this is how you became the cinematographer that we know today.
Yeah, that moment right there just defined the future for me.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that is beautiful. We'd like to talk more about your new upcoming film called Projection.
Projection.
What is that all about?
Yeah, Projection. that's the word that's going around in Kampala right now.
Yeah.
The trailer came out. Projection is about a girl that unlocks the gift to see the future before it happens. Yeah, so, and because of that, the moment she unlocks it, she suddenly becomes an enemy of the state and also enemy of her family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much, the story rotates around that conflict.
Oh, wow. And, like, what inspired you to do this film, you know, like... I know that you directed it, but were there any other roles that you did? Was this a concept that you were given, or did you come up with it?
I came up with the concept. I mean, just like most filmmakers or most writers, it starts with a question of what if.
Yeah.
In mind, I was like, okay, what if I knew what was going to happen today, later on? You know. What are the possibilities that would come out of that? And when I asked myself that question and put it in perspective of a girl, and then I was like, okay, so what if her family is so rich, and what if she could unlock something that could make her inherit her family's fortune? Then what would happen? Of course, the state would be after her, and her family wouldn't be so happy because they're fighting over wealth. Family wealth and everything, you know, typical African kind of conflict.
Yeah. Mm.
So now, like, what were the highlights or the struggles when filming? Because we all know the struggles that come with filming, but we also know that there's some good points to it as well. So for you with the film Projection, what were those points?
I'll start with the challenges. Definitely shooting in Kampala, Uganda, it's the lack of structures. You know, you can't get access to so many things because there's just no structures available to do that. I'm talking fixers, agencies, licensing is really hard in Kampala.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also shooting under COVID restrictions was pretty much of a challenge. But on top of that, I feel like that's what made it exciting, because then we had a lot of improvisation, especially coming from the actors and some of the set designs and some of the things that were happening on set.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, that was really a highlight. And then the fact that, the movie has three main girls who are the lead characters, and the way the girls kicked it, I was really amazed. I haven't worked with such great actors before this project.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love the fact that you're not afraid of challenges. That's good. You got to face these things head on and keep moving.
Yes, always. Always.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're not a filmmaker if you're not willing to do that.
There we go. And that is what separates the greatest from the not so greatest.
From the grateful stop.
Yeah.
You don't want grateful stop.
And it's a jungle out here, so that's what makes it interesting.
It's a jungle out here, guys. It really is.
Got that drama. No, I definitely agree.
Yeah. So we'd like to know, who's your biggest inspiration when it comes to film? You know, are there any African filmmakers that you look up to internationally? You know, who do you aspire to be or aspire to work with?
Well, that's a hard question, because, you know, coming up, you get to be inspired by works of so many people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember, if you're talking about Africa, I remember looking at the content coming from the great Osman Sembene, the late. Yeah, you know, his interpretation of film, so many decades ago, you know, that to me, that was super inspiring.
Yeah.
Right now, internationally, I would say... Christopher Nolan definitely gives me a challenge every other time that I watch his movies. When it comes to cinematography, Roger Dickens.
Roger Dickens sounds familiar. What works has he done?
Roger Deakins, I mean, most recently the Oscar-winning Blade Runner, Sicario, Spectre, Skyfall.
Oh, okay, yes, yeah. I see it. I see it. I see why he'd be an inspiration.
Yeah.
Very, very good at what he does.
Yeah. I mean, his approach to cinematography is quite, I find it improvisational, you know, I find it just, like, his concepts are so, they're so rugged. That's what I like about it.
No, yeah. Definitely. Especially with the film Sicario, like just how it felt so jolting and so dynamic, but you know it's planned, but it just felt like they were deciding in the moment, oh, we're going to go this way. Oh, we're going to go down this place. And it was just beautiful. It was beautiful.
Exactly. And that's because he got the inspiration actually from a documentary called Sicario. So he was trying to shoot it like the documentary experience.
I did hear about that. So it was really nice to see, you know, docu versus fiction.
Yeah, and them trying to replicate that style, which he did quite successfully. Yeah. So then what other projects can we look forward to from you? Like, we're out here talking about Mr. Dickinson's whole project line, his filmography. What about you, Josh? What have we got to look forward to from Josh Espy?
I mean, I got an amazing project called A Dance with the Bride.
Oh,
it's coming out.
Sounds like a romance. Sounds like a chick flick. Is it as the name suggests?
Well, the trailer's on YouTube. Yeah, here's what I can say. Uh-huh. What if the bride pulled up a gun on her groom on their wedding day?
No.
Yeah, that's,
So there's a twist to this title. All right.
And it's a very amazing, project that we are excited, me and the team, to put out later this year.
Oh, my goodness. So we have Projection and the Bride movie to look forward to.
Nice.
Here comes the bride.
Yeah.
And I like that they're all feminine protagonists.
You know,
See what you did there. Beautiful. Love it.
Oh, no, that sounds incredibly exciting. So then, like, how do we connect with you then? How do we keep up with you, with your upcoming projects, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, on Twitter, IG, and Facebook, I'm Josh SB, Fictions. And on YouTube, I'm Josh SB 360. All the content is all there on the YouTube channel.
Awesome. Totally going to check it out. Josh Espy, it's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah.
It was great. I love the energy.
Yeah.
We love yours.
The flattery again.
We love how you're going with your success. We love how you're going on your journey. Mm. And we're definitely, one person to totally follow and look up to and just basically support.
Yeah, no. We're excited to see more than just trailers.
Much.
Yeah, we're excited to see more than the trailers for the films you got coming up. We're so excited to see more.
Sure thing. Thank you.
Yes. Enjoy the rest of your day and thank you once again.
All right. Same.
Bye. Well, that was really insightful. Mm. He's got two projects that he's currently working on. I can't wait to see both of them. Right. Definitely going to check that YouTube channel.
Please.
But moving on to other things. So, hey, remember the Oscar-nominated documentary from South Africa, My Octopus Teacher?
Oh, how can I forget? Like, it got you wanting to befriend squids all of a sudden. Just all talk all these things. Hey,
that's still a banger idea. Trust me. We're totally going to do that. Okay, fine. If you don't want to be part of it, I'm going to do it.
I'll watch from the sides.
Great. And you're going to watch me win an Oscar too.
As long as I'm watching and not interacting, push out.
But that's not really what we're talking about right now. The spotlight is heavy on My Octopus Teacher because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
It just won the Oscar for Best Documentary Feature.
Congratulations! Best Documentary Feature. That's a huge feat, you know. See what I did there.
Oh, feature. Feat. Okay.
We're just on one today.
Not bad.
Thank you.
So anyway, this is Craig Foster's first Oscar win in his career. But it's not the only win that he's received for this documentary.
Do tell.
He's also bagged the BAFTA Award for Best Documentary, as well as a Producers Guild of America Award for Outstanding Producer of Documentary Motion Pictures.
Oh my gosh. Yay.
Guess what? The docu has also been nominated for a Directors Guild of America Award.
Woo.
So fingers crossed.
Wins all around,
right?
Like I've got faith in it. I'm gonna believe
in
it.
He's been doing so well so far, right?
I'm telling you. Like, who would have known that such a simple story of a man befriending a sea creature that isn't a squid would turn out to be such a huge hit. Who knew?
Leave my squid alone.
Who knew?
Leave my squid alone. But honestly, I think it's more than just the fact that it's a human and sea creature, and more on what this type of relationship symbolizes.
Oh, okay, okay.
His fellow director, Pippa Ehrlich, summarized it best, because he said, on a more universal level, I hope that it provided a glimpse of a different kind of relationship between human beings and the natural world.
Yeah. Sounds like a Studio Ghibli kind of film. That's
right.
Yeah, because Studio Ghibli.
But that's anime.
Yeah, but it's like in terms of theme, besides the medium, in terms of theme, Studio Ghibli, at least when led by Hayao Miyazaki, they're very much focused on nature and the relationship between humans and nature.
Beautiful.
So I can see, I can see where they're coming from.
So it's kind of like now taking, now it's just fiction now becoming actual reality because it's a documentary.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm getting this Take Me Back to the Basics vibe with this documentary. Like, it feels different from a lot of documentaries that have been produced lately, Like, either they're more focused on human interactions, like, Nomadland.
We're going to talk about that one.
We're going to talk about Nomadland, another Oscar winner. Or they take away the human element completely and focus solely on just the nature, just the animals, like those penguin documentaries narrated by Morgan Freeman.
Or like all of David Attenborough's timeless wildlife documentaries. He would go, people must feel that the natural world is important and valuable and beautiful and wonderful and an amazement and a pleasure.
Is that your best impression of him?
Oh, I'd like to see you do better.
Man, it's like, David, I just need to remember his accent and then I'll come back. I'll come back to you.
We'll get back to it.
I'll kill it also. It'd be amazing. Anyway, going back to the topics at hand. So, the Oscars have finally come and gone.
Sadly, I guess. But, I mean, it was really enjoyable.
Yeah.
And can we talk about another award winner, Nomadland?
It absolutely cleared the ceremony. So many wins.
Right.
So many wins.
Right. It got coveted. Coveted or coveted?
Coveted.
Coveted. Are we going to cut that one out?
We're keeping that.
No.
Coveted. In 2021, girl.
English is not my mother tongue.
Coveted.
Ke Motswana. Basically, it got the Best Picture Award, as well as the Best Actress one, too.
Exactly. And Chloe Zhao won Best Director, which made history as she is the first woman of color to win it.
Whoop, whoop.
We're coming up. Moving on up. We're coming.
That's a really huge achievement. Mm. And from the looks of it, it was very much deserved.
Ah, definitely, definitely. Such a huge night for the film. Such a huge night.
It was also a huge night for Daniel Kaluuya, who won Best Supporting Actor for Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh, gosh. That poor boy's acceptance speech.
Okay, listen. It's called being excited. Sometimes when you're excited, you end up not even knowing how to pronounce coveted. These things happen. But he was really on the right path for a while, okay?
No, go on. Please continue this line of thoughts. I'm waiting.
No, but he said it so well. He thanked his co-star Lakeith Stanfield, favorite guy right now.
Beautiful man.
He mentioned how much work had to be invested in what he did, what everyone at the ceremony did, beautiful. Look, I don't know why he had to, he thanked his parents. Which was beautiful.
That is such a good way of putting it. That is such a good way of putting it.
But I'm telling you.
It was so random.
I'm telling you, it was nerves.
Ow.
It happens, man. It must have been really nerve-wracking to be up there. Sometimes you freeze.
To be up there? I wouldn't know.
Maybe one day we will.
Manifest it.
We will.
Please.
No, but hey, I wouldn't lie. Moving on, though, I was a little disappointed about the Best Actor win.
Can we talk about that for 2 seconds?
Not trying to be biased or anything.
I mean, it felt like such a low blow from the Oscars because it's not the thing. Like, guys, they always do this. Every time an actor, like if we look even at Heath Ledger, every time an actor does an incredible performance and then unfortunately they pass away before, they can reach the award ceremony or whatever, they win. Posthumously. Let's not lie.
Yeah.
They win. 99.9% of the time. So we were coming in with that expectancy. First of
and
all.
And not just that.
Second.
And also Chadwick Boseman,
guys.
Amazing
second.
Actor.
Exactly. He's coming in with a legacy because he made sure that he left so many films to look back on. First Black Panther we've ever seen. And his performances were no lie. Let's not tell untruths. Right. He always brought it every time.
No, he did.
The Oscars included a head, it was a PNG, it was an image of his head as part of the gift bags. I'm not joking. Yeah. It was a gold, I can't even call it a bust because there were no shoulders. It was just a head and it was gold and they included it in the Oscar gift bags.
I guess it was just a commemoration type of thing.
They modified everything about, you know, that man's life and death. So it's like, the next step would then be the obvious next step.
The Oscar goes to.
Exactly, guys. Like, even if we're just taking our bias, we're just saying the way the Oscars, the path that they set for this, it was going in that direction. And I feel like it was just incredibly, incredibly cruel of them to go all above and beyond and then...
Yeah, no, something about it just felt really off.
It just felt off.
You know, especially when you consider his latest performance in Marini's Black Bottom.
I mean, spectacular, spectacular. He carried his scenes.
But you know what? You know what? It's okay. I'm sure Anthony Hopkins gave a really superb performance. He ended up winning.
He has a
long history of incredible performances.
You know, he's now the record holder for oldest Academy Award winner.
I know.
At 83, I think.
That is quite an achievement, though.
83.
I mean,
but at what cost? At what cost? Like, I'm sorry. At the end of the day, it was off. It was off. The whole thing was off. I'm not saying that Anthony Hopkins didn't deserve. I think the main thing I'm angry about is that the Oscars led us to believe.
Mm.
They led us to believe that Chadwick Boseman...
He had it in the bag.
Had it in the bag.
Yeah.
So it was just... It was very, very disappointing. You know, there's a lot of other things I want to say, but I'll keep it to myself. It just really hurt
man,
me.
No.
It really, really hurt.
No, I agree with you. The whole thing was off. Very much so.
Very, very.
But enough about that. Let's talk about Cook-Off.
Cook-Off! Kinda I've been addicted to them these past few weeks, bruh.
Yeah, you have.
All I watch are Cook-Off shows. My goodness. Like, they're just so much fun. But then they make me hungry.
Right.
It's just like, oh my gosh. I'll just like... Be like, Finicky, oh my gosh, let's go get pizza. Let's go get some breakfast for the third time today. And you'll just be like, what are you watching right now?
So yeah, Cook-Off is a Zimbabwean feature that has been catching a lot of attention on the web lately. And yeah.
And it sounds like it has something to do with food.
I mean, the name kind of sells it, doesn't
Cook-Off. It's literally the name of the entire genre.
Maybe it has a twist like Josh Esby's stuff. I don't know.
It is like a young twist. What if?
Okay, I wish it did, but no, yeah. Actually. It was a 2017 film that followed Anesu, a single mother who's too busy making ends meet to pursue her passion for food.
Oh, so the series is based on a film.
The film. No, it's a film.
It's a film.
Yes.
I thought it was a series.
No,
oh, okay,
hardly.
Okay.
It's a film. It's
okay,
a film.
Continue.
Nikki, what are you getting your facts today?
You mentioned Cook-Off. I was talking food. I got hungry. Okay, let's go.
First time this happens. I can't work like
leave
this.
Leave me alone. It's a film. Let's go.
So it's a film.
Honestly, thought it was a scene.
And it's about a single mother who's too busy making ends meet to pursue her passion for food. That's until her son and her grandmother sign her up for a reality cooking contest.
Okay, so I was close. It's always such a thing when families get together, they help you pursue your dreams. Like, it hits different when families involved.
It tugs at the right strings. That's what it does.
And you know, it's also a thing. The fact that, you know, this series turned movie now in my head, it was shot low budget, but they managed to create such a high production out of it.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, you know, they had a total budget of $8,000 for the whole thing.
Oof.
Then Tendaiche Chitima, the main actress of the film, she recalls how the whole production was very minimalistic, you know, due to funds. It was one take, two take shots, nothing more.
Oof.
It was like, move on. So they had to get it right the first time because no one was about to spend money on reshoots. No one enjoys spending money on reshoots.
Big up to the whole crew. That kind of pressure on set is, you know.
But they did it. They did it, and they're now reaping the rewards. So, like, the film was selected for numerous film festivals, you know, such as the Seattle, Durban, and Zimbabwean International Film Festivals, as well as the International Film Festival in Rotterdam.
Ooh, all that recognition,
recognize. Like, beautiful. I said, they put in the work, and now the rewards, they are being, reaped?
Aha, I'm not the only one with English issues.
Reaped.
See? Let's just say they are reaping the rewards.
repaired. They are repairing. The rewards are being repaired.
Nikki, please. Okay.
That's a word. Listen. At the end of the day, they're doing great things.
No, they are.
There's even a deal with a major streaming site coming on there.
Ooh.
I'm telling
whoop,
you.
Whoop, whoop.
Recognize.
And once again, we've reached the end of our episode. Wow. Nikki, we've done 12 episodes.
Oh, 12. 12 episodes.
Oof. Nearly at the end of our first season.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, one more episode and boom.
You know, season one done. Because it's 13 episodes, ne?
13 episodes. It is 13 episodes, right?
13 is a season. Or is it 12 a season?
You know, nowadays with all these different streaming platforms, you can even just have like 6 episodes as a season.
You know, so we'll see next episode. Will it be episode 13 or episode 1?
For season 2.
We'll let you guys know the next episode. We'll let you guys know.
But it's been such an incredible journey. Learning so much about our fellow Africans and what they've been up to in the film industry.
The talent is there. And I'm so excited to keep finding more and more of it in this lovely continent of ours.
We've only just begun.
Hey, a special thanks to our content contributors, Muchemo Sinkala, Amber Indongeset, and Aaron J. Tamale for sourcing the news for this week's podcast.
Before we go, show some love for your new favorite podcast by following Multijoy's Talent Factory on Insta, Twitter, and Facebook to keep up with us and everything related to us. So which countries will we cover next? Botswana?
Senegal?
Nigeria?
Angola?
Tune in next week to find out as we continue to bring you anything and everything film in Africa. Same place, same time. I'm Nikki Neo.
And this is Serene Serena, signing out.
Salam Sintle.